Yes, well, thank you for that introduction, and it's very nice to be back in Sheffield. I don't know, I've not spent a long time, you know, lots of time in Sheffield, but it does go way back to when I was working with Windhorse Publications and when those other people who were working with Windhorse Publications started some of the business aspects here. So I used to come here to go to meetings for Windhorse Publications, and then that house became your first centre before you graduated into this really, really, really beautiful Buddha centre. So I'm really pleased to be back. I like the city, and got a few friends here now, so it's nice to be able to come and spend some time with them as well as doing something like this. The title that emerged, so partly with me talking to Vajratara and then later on to Suryamati, was, Buddha nature is good, but is it enough? Or is it good enough? And that does, as Suryamati said, that does come out of some text by Gampopa. And they're in my mind just recently, because I've been doing some I've been on three retreats. Three of the retreats I've done since the beginning of the year, since the new year, have involved that material. So when Vajratara said, "Oh well, how about this? And what about something to do with Wesak? And you know, how do we manage to practice all these centuries later?" That was what came to mind. And for myself, I think maybe the reflections later on that we're going to do afterwards might themselves be the most direct way into the material. So I would encourage everyone to stay for those. But also it needed a bit of, those reflections need a bit of placing for as well. So that's what I'll try and do just now. So I'm going to start off with a quote by someone who is not remotely connected with Buddhism, except perhaps in his mental states, but not in any other way. So this is a verse by Goethe, and it's from a piece he wrote, and the piece is called The Holy Longing. And I came across this verse some while back, and I just really liked it. It spoke to me somewhere. So it's very short. It is. And so long as you have not known this, to die and so to grow, you are only a troubled guest on the dark earth. So let's say again. And so long as you have not known this, to die and so to grow, you are only a troubled guest on the dark earth. So the Dharma and practicing the Dharma seems like this more and more to me is as years go by and I carry on trying to practice it, is a lot to do with dying. It's a lot to do with letting go of ways that I identify myself, and letting go of mental patterns that I have. Sometimes letting go of possessions, but more inwardly, letting go. And the positive side of that is that means space arises in my mental makeup that can allow something new to arise. So more and more I think of practicing the Dharma as being this dual process of dying to myself in fairly small ways, I must say, usually. Sometimes I don't even manage a small way. Or I do, but it reasserts itself. So dying to oneself in certain ways, and then out of that something is able to be born, something's able to come into existence, because there's a different space. More recently, I tend to add in the word relaxing, as well. If you can let go of something and then relax away from the old patterns that tend immediately to want to fill up that space, that again just adds to the possibility of something new happening. And here it is, Wesak, as Suryamati said, it's a celebration of the Buddha's birth and life, and particularly his enlightenment. And if we're going to celebrate it, if we're going to kind of really let ourselves be touched with that, then I think somewhere what will happen is it'll touch into that capacity in us to die spiritually, to let go of old, some of the old, in order to let something new come in.